Amen. Merry Christmas. Christ the Savior is born to us. And what a blessing that is. And there is no gift for you to bring, because Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the gift for you to receive. And that is the question. That is the request. Will you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? And that is the question of all questions. And if Jesus is the Son of God, is He your Lord? And praise God that He has come. Praise God that we have this time to worship. And it's not a torture to be here. It's not a torture. And I didn't see those kids being tortured to sing those songs of our Savior this morning. And what a blessing to be together on this day, the day that we celebrate Christ as a nation, as a world, and as believers. You know, it's been a blessing for us in our house to have all these kids. We've had our nieces and nephews from Vancouver. If you think that redheads are going down in the world, look at our row. We are keeping the redheads alive. And they are not going away anytime soon, at least not in this generation. But we are blessed, and that's been the blessing. I've been looking forward to this time. You know, we haven't gotten to be by our West Coast family for quite a while. We see them off and on while we were gone to Oklahoma the last 9 years. But it's been a blessing to have these children, to have this family from California and from Portland and Vancouver area here with us. And that really is the great blessing, is the blessing with family. And we've been able to enjoy good food and a lot of wrestling and trampolines and running through getting wet in the rain. I can't keep kids inside for too long. Just got to get out. These are true Northwest kids. They're from Vancouver, and we're all in that together. We did have a good day yesterday with the sunshine, going out to the beach, and you can't go to the beach with kids without getting wet. And so we had a blue Christmas out there. Kids came back blue and smiling ear to ear. What a great blessing. There is, like I said, there is no gift to bring, because Jesus is the gift for you to receive. We've looked in the book of Matthew, this prelude, I've called it, that's this announcing of the coming of the Messiah and what the first ones who speak have said about the coming of the Lord Messiah, that He is Emmanuel. It was prophesied that He would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us, and He would be called Jesus, meaning He will save us from our sins. And He is the Son of Abraham. He's the Son of David. And ultimately, He is the Son of God. He is the King, born of a virgin, born in a manger in Bethlehem, came as a servant. Yes, came as a king, but came as a servant to give His life for many. And He lays down His life for all. The Magi came and asking, where is the Messiah? Where is the King of the Jews that we may come and bow down, that we may come and worship Him? John came proclaiming, preaching, saying, repent, for the Lord, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and turn to the Lord. And John says of this Messiah that I am not worthy to untie His shoes. I am not worthy to touch His feet. And then God proclaims at the Lord's baptism, John baptizes Jesus, not wanting to do it, thinking, no, Jesus, you should baptize me. And Jesus comes in and humbles Himself and says, no, John, I must be baptized by you. And upon His baptism, the Lord speaks and says, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased. And we are called to believe in the Son. We are called to respond in love and obedience to the Son. And we are called to be pleased with Him, with pleased with this gift, to know that this gift is enough, that this gift is everything. And to receive this gift and to receive Him as the Son of God and to receive Him as Lord. Praise God that this gift has been given to us, this gift of grace and of mercy, that the Lord humbled Himself to become a man, humbled Himself to save us, to draw us to Him, to the humility of a king, for us then to humble ourselves and to accept Him as Lord, to place ourselves under Him as He has come placing Himself to lift us up. Like I said, John says, I'm not unworthy to untie His shoes, and the Lord lowers Himself below Him. And Paul mentions in Philippians, when talking about the Lord, that our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who considered himself nothing, who made himself in a human likeness, who humbled himself, became obedient to the cross, and God exalted him. And at the name of Jesus, what happens at the name of Jesus? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Not as a force, but as a respect for the glory and honor and praise of the Son of God. And we see this response throughout Scriptures of this coming, when people place their eyes on the Lord, or when they come to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, the only response is humility. The only response is to bow. Even those who were against Him, even the demons believe that He is the Son of God, and they shudder. They fall down. You remember the story of the demon-possessed man who was so demon-possessed and so out of control that they had to chain him up and put him on a different place because he was terrorizing the land, and he couldn't even be held captive by the chains and the bonds that were holding him. And he was a wild, crazy man. And Jesus becomes aware of this demon-possessed man, this man who's living in the tombs, that no one can bind him, not even a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke them. No one was strong enough. Night and day he would come out of the tombs and he would cry out and cut himself. This man couldn't even take care of himself. He was so possessed, so controlled. And when he sees Jesus, the Son of God, what does he do? He runs to him and bows down in front of him, falls on his knees and shouts at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of God, of the Most High?" He begs for mercy, and the Lord shows him mercy. In heaven, we see a scene of worship being played out in the presence of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, John has this image of the throne room, and we see here this praising going on, this nonstop praising in the presence of our Lord. And I love the imagery. I love the voices that are being heard here as those who are laying their eyes upon the Lamb, upon the King, upon the Son of God. In the throne room, as John is having this revelation, we hear the creatures never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And at the singing of this nonstop praise of the Lord's holiness, there's an image of 24 elders. What do? They fall down and they lay their crowns and they never stop saying, "God, Son of God, you are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their beings." And in Revelation 5, we see the appearing of the Lamb. And it says that they said, "The seed, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David has triumphed." The King, the Root of David is the King, the Lion who is mighty and powerful. Look, He has triumphed. And when John looks to see the Lion, he doesn't see a lion. He sees a Lamb, a humble Lamb, a Lamb that looks as if it had been slain, but was not overcome. And then they saw the Lamb and saw the humility, the humble Lamb that had been sacrificed, but yet had overcome. That had fought the battle of a lion, had fought the battle of a king, conquering sin, conquering death. Yes, looked bloody and slain, but rose up from the grave and overcame the world. And when seeing the Lamb and the Lamb of God, they never stopped singing. They actually says they sang a new song, and they sang, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men of God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth forever." And then he looks and he hears a voice of angels. The angels join into this praise. The angels join into this song. And it says angels numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s, encircling the throne, the Lamb of God. And they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And they all said, Amen. Amen. We have come to worship the King. Church, can you say amen to that? Amen. We worship a risen Lord, a humble Lord, a mighty Lord, a King who is the Lion and is the Lamb, a Lamb who was slain, but He has overcome the grave. And when John the Baptist calls out and he first sees in John 1, it says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now at the end of the prelude in Matthew chapter 4, before he calls, right before he's ready to call his disciples to follow him, to come and tell the world about him, Jesus, his first words in Matthew chapter 4, he says, repeating the same words that John cried out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And the King is now, the stage has been set, the King is appearing. John has gave a warning, said, turn your lives away from how you've been living. Leave your life of sin, leave your life of compromise, and turn to Him. The King is coming, and He steps onto the scene, and yet He still humbles Himself, calling for sinners to repent and turn to Him, still showing mercy. The Lion of Judah is ready to rule, but He's patiently calling out, repent. Repent. In Matthew 4, 12 through 17, it is fulfilled from the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a new light has dawned. Jesus appears and a new light has dawned for those who are living in darkness. So the people of God have been in captivity. They have fallen away and they've been without the Lord. They've been away from the Lord all this time, and now a new light has dawned. A new light has come, and this light is salvation. This light is forgiveness. This light is grace and peace. This light is life. Those living in darkness were doubting. They were fearful. They were in captivity. They were disappointed because of their sins. They were living in shame, and they were living in defeat. And the darkness went as far as going deep inside of them. You ever have darkness deep inside of you? A depression, or a frustration, or a doubt, or a shame? Well, a new light has dawned. A new light is shining. Those living in the shadow of death, death was their only relief. It says, those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Good news. This light is the light of Christ. It's a light of life, of love, of joy, and of salvation. But the salvation is only for those who will receive. Those who will accept this gift. You know, you can be given a gift, but it's not yours until you receive it. We've had quite a year, Leah and I and the kids. This time last year, we were in Oklahoma, living our life, doing what we normally would do. And then in the end of May, I was finishing up a grad school class. It was Friday, the Friday of the last day of class. Class started at 8 o'clock, and at 9 o'clock, I got a phone call. It was Leah. She said, I've been in a car accident. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, are you laying on the ground? Are you in a stretcher? You know, you're in a car accident, and you call and you tell someone you're in a car accident, you must be in bad shape. But she says, no, I'm fine. I'm standing on the ground. And she had gone on from a paved road to a gravel road and skidded out, rolled the car, crushed the whole hood and the both side panels, didn't break any glass, and walked out, landed on the tires, and she walked out the driver's side door onto the gravel road. And so I rushed home. I got out of my class. The teacher said, yes, you need to go. Got home. Praise God, she was okay. She was unscathed. And I was worried. She said, I'm doing fine. I said, you know, you might be in shock right now. I don't know if she's bloodied, if she's hurt. You know, I said, you need to, like, call somebody. Like, go to the hospital. Because she refused the paramedics. The police came out there. She called 911. They said, you're okay. I said, no, you may not be okay. But we got home. She was okay. Not a bump, not a bruise. Some days went by. I thought, okay, something's going to show up. She's going to feel a little ache here. Nothing. Well, then we are, so we're without a car. We're getting ready to come on a vacation out here. Before we knew we were moving out here, we were going out to Newport to visit Leah's dad up in his house in Newport. And that was our mode of transportation to get out there. And so I was working through insurances and calling to get our car, a settlement done on our car, to get some money to buy a new car or to figure out to get a rental. And things were just not going our way. And it's just a first world problem, you know. Boo-hoo, poor me, can't go on my vacation because I don't have a car. Well, I was trying to work everything out, and come to find out, our title for our car, we'd paid this car off for 5 years. And I thought my title was in my bank, but it wasn't. It was somewhere here in Oregon still. We bought that car here, and we never had the title. And so we had to request a duplicate title, which didn't come till like 2 months later. But we were in that process waiting for that. We tried to get a rental car. Well, they said, well, if your car's already been totaled, you can't get a rental. We're like, that doesn't make any sense. But they were putting us through the ringer. You know, you've been there with the insurances before? Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, we've been there. And so we're just trying to make everything possible to make this vacation happen. Because we really, as being in youth ministry that I was for 15 years, you know, summers are jam-packed with camps and mission trips and vacation Bible school. It was always nice to have our vacation right at the beginning, kind of get a breath of fresh air, get out of town for a little bit, to come back and carry out that work. Well, it wasn't working out. It wasn't look like anything was going to be made possible. Well, we were planning on leaving on a Wednesday because our kids got out of school on Wednesday. We were going to pick them up out of school and just start driving out west. This is a 3-day journey. You know, we'll just get some nighttime driving in under our belts and get here, you know, 2 days later. Well, on Sunday, one of my good deacons and elders, or my deacons actually, he says, Brian, you guys plan to go on your trip. Pack your bags. You're going to go on your trip. And I was like, what? I said, I don't have a car. He said, don't worry about it. You're going on a trip. Now, these guys have been pretty generous. They've given us some nice gifts before and nice bonuses and these things. And so I thought, okay, these guys are going above and beyond. They're doing something. They're going to find a car. They're going to, you know, they're going to let us borrow a car. They're going to find a rental, which any of the above is a great, would be a great gift. And so he said, no, don't stress about it anymore. You're going on your trip. So I said, okay, Fred, we'll get ready. That was Sunday. Monday night, this other guy, Mike, he works for a car dealership, one of our youth parents. He says, Brian, come to the church. There's a car there for you, and there's a keys in your box. And so I said, okay. So we get in the car. We go over there. We're kind of excited, anticipating what's this going to be. And there's a nice white GMC 2014 Terrain sitting out in front of the carport there. And I go in the church building, go in my box, and there's a key in there, an envelope, and there's just a paper that says, this is a gift from God. This is a gift from God. God bless you. Go on your trip. Have a great time. And I'm thinking, this is weird. So I call Matt. I said, Matt, what do I need to do? Do I need to sign something? When do I need to return this car back to you? I'm still thinking this is a rental. He says, no, Brian, this is your car. And I'm like, what, Matt? Come on. He said, no, this is your car. And I come out. Leah's out there, and she could just see it on my face, and she's just crying. She's like, we can't do that. Like, we got to give it back. We can't take this. We can't receive this. And it's like nothing we could do. It was ours. It was in our hands. The keys were there. It was paid for. I mean, everything was done. And there was then the next, we got back from vacation, and there was the money for the registration and for the taxes and the fees that are required for a new car. I mean, $800 just boom to take care of all of that. We couldn't give it back. And we had to accept it. Then we said, well, who do we thank?
I called this Matt, and he said, it's bigger than a Matt and a Fred thing, Brian. I said, well, who is it? He said, I can't tell you. And all the ones I thought, they didn't know. And when I told about it, they said, I wish I would have. That would have been cool to be a part of something like that. And they're like looking around like, was I left out of this deal? We couldn't return it. We couldn't repay it. We just had to receive it. We had to take it. That's the car we have out here right now. And the gift that we've all been given is greater than a car. It's been given to you. And the question is, will you receive it? Will you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Is it enough? Is He enough? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near to you, to all of you. Every one of you has come near to you. The gift has been given, so turn to the Lord your King. The gift has been given to you, so obey the Lord. The gift has been given to you, so receive the gift of the Son. The gift has been given to you, so receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is promised to us in baptism. If we can help you to accept that gift this morning, or to help you learn more about who this Jesus is He really the Son of God? And we may be really struggling with that question. It may not be always an easy question to answer. Or, yes, I believe He is the Son of God. What does it mean that He is, if I'm to accept Him as my Lord? What does it mean to obey? What does it mean to believe? If we can help you to receive Christ Jesus, the gift that's been given, the new light has dawned, to accept Him as your Lord this day, then come, let us adore Him while we stand and sing.